Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bamitzia daf Ayin Test. We are holding on daf Ayin Chesem Beis, five lines from the end of the page at E Bayis Ema Kula Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. He last written line is E Bayis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, Alina Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha, Allah Shalom, also by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzlacha for our soldiers and for our captives, and also by Daniel Goldstein in honor of his father, Ivan Goldstein, Yitzchak Leib ben Mordechai Alevi, on his ninth yard site that falls out on Shabbos in the Shem Shem and Aliyah. We thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we are right in the middle of a conversation. The first thing we're going to discuss is to try to finish this conversation that we were having about a donkey that is rented and is taken by a king for his usage, as was common. And we had a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. When do we say the maskir has to furnish a replacement donkey? And when do we say the maskir does not have to furnish a replacement donkey? So Shmuel then made a distinction between whether it was bederech halicha nitla, whether the avdei melech took the chamor, who took the chamor were going in the same direction that the socher was holech, that the socher was going, or in which case the masker could say, sorry, that's your tough luck, versus it was lav derech halichasa nitla, a case where it was not going in they were not going in the same direction, in which case the masker must furnish a different donkey, because the guy's not going to follow after them and wait to get the donkey back. So so we had a kasha on that shita of Shmuel from a Bryce, so we're going to try to be miyashi the shita of Shmuel from that braisa, and then the Gemara is going to discuss whether the socher has a monetary claim when the donkey that he rented dies halfway through the journey, and that's going to lead to a long, long conversation that goes through the majority of Amud Aleph and the first half of Amud Beis, and then the Gemara is going to talk about what a renter is allowed to load a donkey with. I rent a donkey, can I just hitch a whatever trucks pull, can I just hitch whatever I want to the donkey that it's going to schlep all this stuff, or can I, is there a limit in terms of the weight that I'm allowed to attach to that donkey, or in terms of the amount of stuff I'm allowed to put on that donkey? Then the Gemara is going to talk about what if I rent a donkey and I'm a man, but I decide that I'm going to give it to a woman to ride on, or vice versa. Is that a misuse of the rental? So let's begin again. We are at E by Yisema, five lines from the end of the page, on daf Ayin Ches Amud Beis, and we're trying to be miyashev how Shmuel is going to work out based on the fact that we had a brisa that seemed to go against Shmuel. So says the Gemara, Iba Yisema Kula Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. It could be that the entire brisa, both the Resha and the Seifa of the brisa, follows the sheet of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar v'chzuri mechzer v'hachi katani, and there's a little bit missing from the brisa, and here's what we need to add to make the brisa work. Hasocher sachamar v'hivrika onish. If you rent a donkey and then it is hivrika, which we said develops a cataract or something, or it goes crazy, so then you could say, and therefore makes it very difficult to ride, so you're able to say, you don't have to furnish another donkey for the guy. That's what he rented. That's his luck. But if the donkey dies or it's taken by the king's servants for their use, usage, so then the maskir is going to have to provide another donkey. But when do we assume that the maskir will have to provide another donkey? That's shelo b'derech halichasa nitla. That's only if the people who took it, the avdei melech who took it, were not going in the same direction that the socher was going anyway. Meaning Shmuel's chilik. Aval nitla b'derech halichasa. But if they were going in the same direction, omer lo ereish halichalafanecha. Then the maskir can tell the socher, okay, that's your luck today. That's what happened to you. Divrei Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. That's Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar's opinion. Shehaya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer in b'derech hiluchah nitla Omer lo reish halichah v'nechav im lo chayv lo lamed lo chamor. Because Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is the one who made exactly the distinction of Shmuel. And when the Brisa is read that way, the Brisa is simply confirming the sheet of Shmuel. So the Brisa is a full support for the sheet of Shmuel. Ask the Gemara. Wait. Umi matzis mukmalak. Rabbi Shimon Elazar, can you really say that the entirety of the Brisa follows the sheet of Rabbi Shimon Elazar? Vakatani Reisha, but doesn't it say in the Reisha of that Brisa? Hasocher sachamar veivriko shenishtata omer that if you rent the donkey and then it's hivrika or it goes crazy, you can say the masker can tell the socher, I'm not responsible, this is your problem. Chayiv la'amid lo chamar. Rabbi Shimon Lazar goes directly against that. We have Rabbi Shimon Lazar on record as saying that if those very same things happen, hivriko shenishtatata, that the maskir does have to furnish another donkey. So how can you tell me that this whole brisa follows Rabbi Shimon Lazar? There's a line in the brisa that is directly against the sheet of Rabbi Shimon Lazar. Sans the Gemara, Amar Rabba Baravuna lirko v'le hashayni. That really the entire brisa might be following Rabbi Shimon Lazar. The fact that we have Rabbi Shimon Elazar saying that when you rent a donkey to ride on and hivrika o nishtatata, that the maskir is obligated to furnish him with another donkey, because that's because when you rent a donkey al menas to ride on the donkey, that's going to be a different din than renting a donkey stam, because you cannot ride on a donkey lest it fall on a bridge or throw you into a bar, and therefore if it's hivrika o nishtatata, is the guy's going to have to give you another chamar. But if you're socher chamar just to do what a chamar normally does, which is not for riding, normally a chamar just schleps your packages, whatever bundles you have, whatever heavy weight, heavy things that you have, and then hivriko nishtatata, so then you could say reshel chalafanecha, because it's still possible to use it. It's just a little more challenging to load the packages onto the donkey because he's going crazy, but it's still possible to use it, whereas you can't risk your life to use it. So when you say it's lirkovala dafka for that purpose, that's going to be different than renting a donkey stam. So Amar Rav Papa, klei zuchuch is kalirkovala adami. Oh, once we have that distinction, if you want to put glass kalim on it, something very fragile, so then it has the same status as lirkovala, because it's not reasonable to expect the fellow to use it for something fragile if it's very likely that at any point the donkey might just chuck it off of its back or might start going crazy and it might slip off of the back of the donkey. And the Rambam points out in Hilchos Chirus, lav davka klei zuchuchus, anything fragile, anything that if it would fall off the donkey's back would break, so that's the same as lirkov aleha, where it's clearly not, this donkey is clearly not usable for its intended purpose. Okay, so now the Gemara tells us, Amar Rav Bar Avuna Amar Rav, Hasokher Hachamar lirkov aleha, umesa lo b'chatzi aderech. You hire, you rent a donkey in order to ride on it, and then it dies halfway through the journey. So nosin lo schoro shel chatzi aderech. The socher has to pay the maskir, the whatever you would pay to rent a donkey to go halfway, as far as the donkey made it, ve'ein lo alav ela taromos, and all the socher has against the maskir is taromos, his complaints that he rented him such a weak donkey, but he has no monetary claim. As we pointed out in the past, ein lo alav ela taromos means two things. It means that there is no monetary claim, but it means you do have taromos, meaning that you're not allowed to just have taromos against anything. We often think, I can complain about whatever I want. But no, there's an issue of Lashon Hara. You're not allowed to just complain about whatever you want. But when you have, when it says that in lo lav el taromos, it means that at least you're allowed to have taromos. Now the Rambam in Hilchos Chirus writes that this halacha of Rabbi Rav Huna Merav about the donkey dying halfway through the trip, where you have to pay for half of the rent, is only when you were socher lirkov aleha, that we would say something. But if you were socher for masui, then you would not, he would not be chayiv to be mamed another chamar for him. Meaning because we're going to see the elaboration of this halach in the Gemara that the demei hanevela can be used to buy another donkey to take you the rest of the way. So that's only if it was meant to take you the whole way. So the Rambam makes that distinction that it's only if you're socher lirchov aleha. The Ravid disagrees. He says there's no basis for this. There's no chiluk between rechiva and a masa. It didn't make it the whole way. Well, what difference does it make whether you rented it to be rochiv or you rented it to schlep something for you? It only made it halfway in either case. So anyway, so the Gemara wants to know, hey chidami, what case are we talking about where we said that if it dies, ein lo alav el taromos? If in the middle of the road where it died, it's easy to find another donkey. There are plenty of donkey rental places in the city that it died. So tarumas may avidite. So why do you have tarumas? It's very easy to rent another donkey and continue on your journey with that other donkey. So why would you even be allowed to have tarumas on such a case? Even though it's going to involve some effort, right? That's what the Marsha points out. You know, I might complain because it's another hassle and frustration in my day when I rent a car, I'm supposed to drive across the country, and the car that they rented me breaks down and dies halfway through the country. So now I got to go find. So I'll call up and complain. They'll say, "What are you complaining about? There's an Enterprise and a Hertz and in the local airport over there. Just go over there and you'll have no problem." But it's frustrating. I don't want to deal with that. Still, it's a lo alav taromas because the chamor died ba'onas. The guy didn't plan on the chamor dying. So therefore, as long as you're able to continue on your way in a fairly easy way, that's what the Marsha points out, you're not even allowed to have taromas. But if you're in a place where you can't easily find another donkey to rent, agrabay lemesavlei, what, you think you're going to need to pay for the half of the derech that it got you there? That didn't help you at all, because you're stuck in the wrong place. You're not in the place you want to be. So the olam delo shchiach lagure. It must be that Rav is talking about a case where you cannot easily find another donkey. Umishum da amarle ilu bois lemesa adhacha lav agra bois lemesav. And the reason you have to pay for half of the payment for whatever it would cost to rent a donkey to get you to where you got is because the masker could tell the socher, look, if you would have wanted to come to this location and not to your final destination, so wouldn't you have to pay me for that? Meaning I rent a car because I plan on driving all the way from New York to California. I make it as far as Chicago. So the guy says, well, it costs money to rent a car to drive from New York to Chicago also, and therefore you should have to pay for that. So, which is a little bit difficult to understand, because as Tosis points out, I don't want to be in Chicago, meaning that's not where I was trying to go. I was trying to go somewhere else. So why would I have to pay rent to get to a place that I didn't want to get to? So Tosis suggests a couple of answers. Number one, he says that to rent something in that location would still not be as expensive as renting something from my original location. So he was hanah him by the fact that he got to this place. So he did give me some hanah that I got this far. Second of all, he says that if you're able to sell your schora in the place where you are as well, which is halfway to your intended destination, and you'll make some money, so that's also it did do you a favor, because you brought this donkey. Why do you rent a donkey? To bring your schora, to bring your merchandise to go sell. So there are other merchants that sell in this location, so you could sell in this location as well. So even though you wanted to go a little bit further and make a little more money by bringing it to a place where maybe the prices are higher, maybe the demand is more, but now that the donkey's dead, since you were nana by the fact that the donkey got here, so the masker can tell the socher, you still owe me for at least getting you this far. So the Gemara explains that as follows. The Gemara asks, "Hey Chidami, that which the masker tells these, what exactly are we talking about in terms of the initial agreement that the masker had with the socher? If the masker was maskir him a chamor, and he didn't say dafka chamor ze, so then when it dies halfway through the journey, hachayv lahamlo chamor acher, he should have to furnish him with another donkey, because he never said that he's giving him dafka this chamor. He said, I'm going to provide you with a chamor that's going to get you all the way from here to your final destination. So if that's the case, when the chamor dies halfway through the trip, he's got to provide another chamor, right? If I take a flight and the plane has some trouble and they have to land halfway, they got to come up with another plane to bring me the rest of the way, because I did not ask dafka. Well, now people are dafka asking not for the Boeing planes, but But if I did not ask Dafka for this plate that Dafka asked, I just asked that I should be able to get to where I want to get to. And Ida Amarle Chamor Zeh, and if you're Maskir Chamor Zeh, so he was Meshabe that Chamor for your use. So Im Yesh B'Dameh Halikach Yikach, if the Nevela is valuable enough that you could exchange that to get another donkey in its place, do that and continue on the road with your new donkey. So Ansig Ma Lo Tzricha B'She'ein B'Dameh Halikach. He said Chamor Zeh, but the Nevela is not worth enough to be able to purchase another donkey that's going to get me the rest of the way. So ask Martin, even if it's not enough to purchase another donkey to get me the rest of the way, Im Yesh B'demel Liskar Yiskar. So maybe it's not enough I'm not going to be able to sell the Nevela to buy another donkey, but I should be able to sell the Nevela at least to rent another donkey. So if this donkey is Meshubad to get me from point A to point B, and only gets me halfway there, and now it's dead, I can use its dead body to get me to the rest of the way, even if that only involves renting another donkey. Says the Gemara, Rav l'tameh dam Rav lo machlinin karna. This is Rav l'shitaso, because Rav is apparently assuming that no, I'm not allowed to use the value of that nevela to rent another donkey. I could use it to buy another donkey, but not to rent another donkey, because I'm not allowed to take away the entire keren of the maskir just to get my job done. Meaning the maskir was planning on getting a donkey back when he rented me the donkey. So he might get a dead donkey back. If I buy a cheaper donkey with the carcass, he might get that cheaper donkey back. But if I only rent a donkey to take me the rest of the way, he's going to get nothing back. And I'm not entitled to do that, because when the value of the nevela is actually enough to buy me another donkey, then that's fine. But if it's only enough to rent me another donkey, then when that rental is over, the chamor does not go back to the maskir, and therefore it's mechal yakarna. He loses his keren. Where do we find that there's some sort of discussion about mechal yakarna, and there's a shita of Rav that lo machlinun karna? So de itmar socher sachamor meisalo b'chatzi derech. If you rent a donkey and it dies halfway through the journey, so amar Rav im yesh b'dmel likach yikach liskor. Al Yiskar. Rav says if you could use the carcass to buy another donkey, great, buy another donkey. But if you could use the carcass only to rent another donkey, do not do that. Ushmol Amraf Liskar Yiskar. Shmuel says do whatever you need to get to where you need to get. And if this donkey was Meshuba to get you there, so then you can sell its carcass to rent another donkey. So b'maika miflugi, Rav sover l'machlin karna, Shmuel sover machlin karna. And this is the nekudas ha-machlokas, that Rav says l'machlin karna, and Shmuel says that yes, machlin karna. Now, when someone lends money to somebody else, and the lova gives the malva a tree or a field as a mashkon, that he's allowed to hold on to it as a guarantee for the payback, for the payment of the loan, and that year, in those years that the field is in his control, he acts as a bailim of the field. He works the field, he eats the payrus of the field, right? That's normally the deal when you give something as a mashkon. But there are different types of mashkonos. There's three different types of mashkonos. There's what's called a mashkanta binachyasa, a mashkanta belonachyasa, and a mashkanta desura. So this is going to be important for the upcoming Gemara. A mashkanta binachyasa means that the malva and the lova were koveya between them, that for each year that the mashkon is in the hands of the malva, they're going to deduct X amount of money off of the chov with no regard to how much the field actually produces. Meaning we're not going to do any cheshbin as far as, oh, the field produced $1,000 worth of payros and therefore we'll knock off $1,000. No, it's going to be $1,000 a year regardless of what the field produces. Sometimes the field is going to produce a lot more, sometimes a lot less. That's a mashkanta binachyasa. A mashkanta below nachyasa is that the malva eats the payros of the field without any deduction, and in the end of the halva, he's going to get the full payment of the chov. So you owe me $10,000 that I lent you. I'm going to eat the payros of this field that I'm keeping as a mashkon while it's in my possession, and then at the end of the end of the tekufa of the mashkon, you're going to give me back my $10,000. And then there's a mashkanta desura that they would write in the shtar b'mishlam shani ilin tepuk ara da below kesef, that the malva accepts the field into his rishus and he eats the payros peiros, and after a certain number of years, he gives it back to the lova, and the lova doesn't owe him anything anymore at all. So it turns out that the achila of the entire, of all of those years, of the peiros of the field, is a piron halva. That's a mashkanta desura. So ask the Gemara Meisve, we have a brisa, that if someone lends money, someone borrows money from his friend, and he gives him a tree as a mashkon, but it's a mashkanta desura, so he's going to eat the peros for X number of years, and that achilas peros is going to serve as the payment of the chov, and then the tree is going to go back to the bailum without any money changing hands. He's not going to have to pay him at all, and then yavashi ilanu nitzas in middle of that tkufa where he was supposed to keep it as a mashkon, the tree dried out. Or it got chopped down. Both the lova and the malva are not allowed to use that tree for the firewood. The lova is not allowed to use it because the malva is entitled to those years of the peros of that tree. And if the lova uses that tree, he's being mechala the keren of the malva. The malva is not allowed to use it because it's not allowed to be mechala the keren of the lova, because the tree ultimately is supposed to go back to the lova. So they can't chop up the tree and use it for firewood. Neither one can. So ketzad yasa, what do they do with it? Yilakach bokarka, they should sell the dead tree and buy karka with it, and continue their deal. And the malva with that field will be ochel leperos of that field. And then at the end of the term, the malva will return that field. So, frankly, when you buy karka with that tree, when yovel comes, the karka is going to go back to the bailim, and maybe the love is going to, the yovel is going to come in middle of the term that it's supposed to be a mash. And the lover is not going to get anything back from the tree that he gave as a mashkon to the malva, because he's not going to go back to the lover now. It's going to go back to whoever they bought that land from, meaning they sold the tree that initially belonged to the lover. Now they bought land with it. When Yovel comes, that tree goes back to the guy they bought it from, the Kakal Yakarna. And it turns out, therefore, that there goes the entire keren of the lover. So it's a kasha and Rav who says, "Ain't allowed to be Mechal Yakarna," because we say in this price that this is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to sell the wood and buy this land. What do you mean buy this land? If Yovel comes in the middle, the lova is never going to see his trees, never going to see his land. So answers the Gemara, half my skin, suddenly the shis and shnin. The case must be that the guy sold the field for 60 years. And if you sell a field for 60 years, you don't get it back at Yovel. How do I know that if you sell your field for 60 years, you don't get it back at Yovel? Shenemar, because the pasuk says by Yovel, that the Torah says that the reason of the mitzvah of Yovel is so that land should not be sold forever. So we learn from there that only Misha Ein Shom Yovel Nitzmeses, a karka that had it not been for Yovel would have remained in the possession of the buyer forever. So Yeshom Yovel Ein Nitzmeses. The Yovel comes and upends that agreement, meaning if the agreement otherwise would have left the land in the buyer's possession forever, Yovel says, no, we can't let that happen. So Yovel comes, and Kodesh Baruch Hu does not let that happen because of the when Yovel comes. But Yatzazo, when you sell a karka for a particular tkufa of time, even if it's as long as 60 years, shall be changed from Yovel, ain't in its messes, that it wasn't going to be litzmisos anyway, it wasn't going to be forever anyway, and therefore Yovel will not work its magic on that, so it will not go back at Yovel. So so that must be the case, that therefore it's not Mechal Yakarna, the Lova is going to be able to get something back because the Yovel is going to have no effect. So ask the Gemara, sof, but at the end of the day, since he only sold it for 60 years, it may not go back at Yovel, but Lichimatu Shitin Shnin, Kadra Ara Lamara. The Lova is not getting his land back because he may get it back until the 60 years are up, but once the 60 years are up, it's going to go back to the original owner, Vika Kal Yakarna. And that's Kal Yakarna, that's against Rav. I thought we're not allowed to be Mechal Yakarna. So says Gemara, no, it must be that we're talking about a time where Yovel is not knowing, because then the karka is never going to go back to the original owner. It's always going to stay in the hands of the buyer, and therefore the karka is going to stay there forever by the love. It's not Mechal Yakarna, and therefore it's not a kasha on Rav. It makes sense that the price is talking about a case Bizman She'ena Yovel Noeg, right? Bizman Azeh, there's no Yovel Noeg. You need Rov Yoshveh Aleha. You need the Shvatim to be Makir their Chalakim in the different parts parts of Eretz Yisrael in order for Yovel to be Nohig. So it's Mistaver that this is talking about that the Brice is talking about a Tkufa when there is no Yovel. Because if you're going to touch up the Brice, it's talking about when there is a Yovel, Umachlin and Karna, and it's going to be Mechalia Karna, and we're not worried about the fact that it's Mechalia Karna. So why do you have to sell the tree to buy Karka with its money? Why doesn't the Malveh just chop up the tree and use it to burn? Because either way, it's going to be Mechalia Karna of the Loveh. So I mean, the whole thing, the whole reason that the Malveh wasn't allowed to just chop up the tree in the first place is, how can you be Mechalia Karna of the Loveh? Well, if it's Bizman Sheyovel Noeg, no matter what you do, it's going to be Mechalia Karna of the Loveh. So why do we make him go through the trouble of selling the wood, buying a piece of land? At the end of the day, it's going to be Mechalia Karna anyway. So then you might as well just use the wood in the first place. So Elamai, it must be that this is solving something, because it's Bizman Shein Yovel Noeg. So if I use the wood as firewood, so there goes the Karen of the Loveh. He's never going to see anything again. But if I buy a piece of land with it, so then the Yovel will see something. Well, says Gemara, Imishum Halo Kasha. If that's your that diuk is your raya that we're talking about, where it's that it's a bisman sheina yovel noeg, and therefore it's going to be mechalia karna. It's because otherwise it would have been mechalia karna anyway. That's not really a raya, because really we could say the Brice is talking about bisman shay yovel noeg, and it is mechalia karna. And the reason you use the wood of the tree to buy karka is because sometimes it's not going to be mechalia karna. Zimnin deshalmu shnei mashkanta mekame yovel. Sometimes the mashkon is up before Yovel comes, so therefore it's not going to be Mechali Karna, because the Lova is going to get the tree, he's going to get the tree back at some point, he's going to get the field back at some point. But if you use the tree as the wood of the tree as firewood right now, he's not going to get anything back. Inami de matale zuze uparuk la arba v'chamishnin mekame Yovel. Or maybe the Lova is going to have money to give back for the halva'a and to be pod to the karka a few years before Yovel. So in both of those cases, the karka will get back to the Lova before Yovel, so it will turn out that it's not Mechalia Karna. So the Gemara discusses, now will eventually be Mechalia Karna, but at least the Lovel will get it back before it's Mechalia Karna. So therefore it's not a Raya, meaning there's a difference between chopping up the wood and using all the wood now, where the Lovel is never going to see anything, versus buying Karka with it, where the Lovel might still get a few years out of it until the Yovel comes. So says Martan Rabban, if I rent a boat, Vitavala, and the boat sinks, with whatever I put on it, b'chatzia darach, halfway through the journey of where it was supposed to get. Rabbi Nosson Omer, im nasan lo yitol, v'im lo nasan lo yitain. If the socher has already paid the full rental to the bala svina, even if you paid whatever he charges for the entire journey, then you can't get back, you can't get reimbursed your money, even though the boat didn't make it. But if you have not yet paid, then don't give him the mechschirus, even for the chatzia darach. Don't give the Demei Schirus for the Chatzia Darach that it has not yet traveled. Say, Chidami, what exactly is the case? If we're talking about a case where I rented the boat and it was Dafka, this boat I identified, and the Socher didn't say that he's using it for a particular wine, he just said I'm going to use it for whatever wine. So why only if he didn't pay yet, does he not have to pay? If you already paid for it, why do we say that it's only if no lo nasan that lo yitain? We should say even more than that. Im nasan, am I lo yital? Even if I paid for it, shouldn't I be able to get my money back? I would have a very good taina on the maskir. The maskir said it's svina zu. The socher said it's yayin stam. In order to fulfill the taina, the maskir has to bring me a boat. That boat. And if that boat's not here, I get my money back. So and the socher could bring other wine and say I still have other wine that I want to schlep because it was yayin stam. So name alei havli svinta va'anam ha'isina chamra. After all, let the socher say to the maskir, bring me this boat that we had agreed upon, and I'll find wine to schlep on the boat, because it was yayin stam that I agreed to. Elano must be besvina stam v'yayin zeh, that we were nondescript about the boat. It could have been any boat, but it was dafka this wine. And but then we have a kasha that imlo nasa namai lo yitain, that if the socher has not yet paid, why does he not have to pay? Since the maskir only said svina stam and the socher said yayin zeh, in order to fulfill the tonight of the rental, the maskir could just bring another boat, and the socher will have to find that wine. But that wine is gone; it already sank, so there's no point to bring in another boat, and you're going to have to pay for the whole thing. Namele, let the maskir say to the socher in such a case, "Havli ahu chamra v'nami sinu svinta." Tell you what, when you bring me back that wine, I'm happy to provide you with a boat. That wine is at the bottom of the ocean right now, so I know you're not going to bring back that wine. So you got to pay me in full. Says the Gemara, "Amar Papa lo mishkachasa ela besfina zo v'yayin zeh." That must be that the case is we said this boat and this wine. So since neither the socher nor the maskir has the ability to fulfill the tenai, so yada toveya ala tachtona. So whoever has the money is going to be able to keep the money. You're not going to, if you're going to be toveya money from the other party, you're not going to be able to win. Aval besfina stam v'yayin stam. But if you just said svina, a svina and yayin, nondescript, could be any yayin, where the maskir is able to bring another svina and the socher is able to bring more yayin, so they're both able to fulfill the tenai. So then cholkin, if the maskir already received the entire payment of the rental, he's got to give half back, and if he didn't receive anything, the socher is going to have to pay for half of it. So says the Gemara, another case. So far we had, you rented a donkey, it died halfway through, and we had the case of you rented a boat and it sank halfway through with whatever you had agreed to put on it. Now we have another case. You rent a boat to bring your merchandise on it. And the socher took all of his stuff off of the boat halfway through the trip. So the socher only pays the balasvina for half of the trip, and the balasvina only has tainas against the socher, but he has nothing more than tainas against the socher. So the assumption right now is that halfway through the trip, I found another boat going in the other direction, and he says, "Hey, what do you got on that boat?" And I say, "Oh, I have this and this merchandise." I say, "Oh, I want to buy that," and he buys it from me halfway through, so I don't need it anymore, and therefore I sell it to him. Now I turn to the guy who rented me the boat, and I say, "I don't need your boat anymore. I don't need to get to where I thought I needed to get to sell all the stuff." So that's what the Gemara assumes the Brisa is talking about. Say, "Hey, chidami, what exactly is the case? If we're talking about where the balasvina, right in the middle of the journey, is able to find someone else who's willing to rent his boat, amayisle tarumis, then why would the balasvina have any tarumis on the socher? Because he'll be able to rent out his boat to someone else. He doesn't lose out. And if he's not able to find someone else to rent his boat, and what do you mean? Just because you were lucky enough to find someone who's willing to buy your merchandise halfway through the trip, you're not going to pay me for the whole thing? Of course you got to pay me for the whole thing. So the olam to come ashkachad gura. The case is that he is able to find someone who's able to rent the boat. Ela mayisle tarumis. Why does the balasvina have tarumis? Mishum rifsta disvinta. It's because the boat becomes damaged by having to tie it to the dock, by having to dock the boat, and therefore he has tarumis that the boat goes through a little more shaking and a little more trauma when in the middle of its journey you have to take it out and you're going to have to find a new socher. It's just going to go through more, and therefore the wear and tear on the boat is going to be worse. So yach, if that's the case, that the boat is actually going to be more shaken up and the boat's going to be at greater risk of breaking down, so tainas amaliyasahu. So why is it only tarumas? He has a real taina. Umamonis legabe. He should have a taina's mamo, not just tarumas against him for that. Elamai parka de parka latane begava. No. Maybe we misunderstood the whole brisa. The brisa was not that he unloaded it because someone was willing to buy all the merchandise halfway through the journey. De parka latane begava. He was porik his masa into it, meaning in the middle of the journey, he added more chavilos that were there. And in the initial tonight was that he's able to add a burden to the boat, however, to his heart's content, and he'll pay based on the cheshbon of the chavilos that he gives him and the derech that he travels, and therefore he has to add a little extra meaning if I rented the boat for $100 to get halfway there, but now I'm putting a lot more on the boat, so now I gotta pay an increased fee for the use of this boat. So what are the taromas that he has on him? Mishum shinu daita. is because he changed his mind, that the Baal HaSfina thought that he'll come back really quickly, and the Socher now spent more time on the road in order because halfway through he had to spend time loading more stuff onto it. So for that he has Taromas. Inami, or another reason you might have Taromas, is La Ashli Yaseira. That he needs ropes that are longer ropes because he's adding more bundles to the boat. It's heavier and it sinks lower into the ocean. So when you want to be porik the masoi from the boat at the river's edge, you're not able to bring it all the way close to the river's edge because the boat is lower down. So you bring it closer to the river's edge, it's going to get caught in the riverbank. So now I need longer ropes to dock it, to tie it to the docks, because it needs to be able to be tied from a greater distance. And that costs, so you have to buy bigger, longer ropes, and therefore he has tarumas for that, for the fact that he's going to have that increased expense. Okay, Tan Rabbanan. Hasokhras Chamar Lirkov Aleha, Socha Meniach Aleha Ksuso Uginoso Umzonosov Shal Osa Derech. If I rent a donkey to ride on, so I'm allowed to put on that donkey whatever begadim needs, and whatever drink is necessary, and the mizonos of that's needed for that journey. Mikan ve'elach, but any more than that, chamer ma'akev alav. The donkey rider could say, listen, you know, there's a one suitcase limit with this ticket. You want to bring more, then you're not allowed to bring more. It could charge you more. Chamer maniach alav. The donkey driver himself is allowed to use it to put saorim v'teven mizonos of shalosa yom. Whatever Michael Behema he needs, Sa'orim is Michael Behema, right? That's one of the Karban Omer we read about in this week's parsha, is one of the only Karbanos Mincha that's made out of Sa'orim. It's Machal Michael Behema. So when we say Sa'orim, we're typically referring to Michael Behema. So Sa'orim v'tev straw is obviously Michael Behema. Umazonos of the Mazonos of the Chamar himself, of the donkey driver himself, Shalo Sayyam, is going to bring his lunch bag as well. Mikan Ve'elach Socher Ma'akev Love. And after that, the Socher could say, why are you weighing this thing down? Say, Echidami, what's the case? If you're able to find food along the way, there are rest stops along the way, so the chamer should also be a ma'akev the socher, not to put more than the mezonos he needs for that day. And if it's not easy to find food, then the socher nami lo la'akev, he shouldn't be able to stop the chamer from taking the mezonos that he needs for the entire derech. Meaning, there was something unfair about this. The socher was able to pack up food that he needs for the entire journey. The chamer was only able to take enough food that he needs for that day. So Amar Papa Latzricha Dishkiach Lemitrach Umizban. May Avna LaAvna. Chamer Darkei Lemitrach Umizban. Socher Lav Darkei Lemitrach Umizban. That no, you'd be able to find food, but you really need to know what you're doing. You have to go. It's going to involve some sort of tircha to be able to secure that food. So if by profession you are a chamer, you are a donkey driver, you know what to do. You know exactly how to navigate that experience, and you'll be able to find food along the way. And therefore, the socher could say, you could bring your lunch for today, but don't load us down with anything beyond the lunch that you need today. Whereas they can't make the same demand of the socher because he doesn't know how to be toreach to find the food, so he's allowed to take as much food as he needs for the journey. Tan Rabban, the last brisa of the daf. Hasokhas chamar lirkov ala ish, lo tirkov ala isha. If you rent a donkey for a man to ride it, you can't put a woman on the donkey. And the assumption is that the woman is heavier than the man. That's what the Sma writes on the Shulchan Aruch. So the Yishonim write that say that this is only din lechachila, but the Eved, if a woman rode on the donkey and she and the donkey dropped dead, he's going to be pater, because that's not considered a Tosefas Masvei that you're going to be chayev on. Isha, if you rented the donkey for a woman, then rochiv ala ish. You could put a man on the donkey. The isha b'gedola, bein gedola bein ketana. And when we say that, the deal was that an isha is going to ride on it, it could be an isha gedola or an isha ketana. Afilu muberes, afilu menika. Even if she's pregnant, so she's a little heavier, and even if she's nursing, which means she comes with baby, so she's also a little heavier. So ashtu menika amet muberes mibayi. Yeah, if she's allowed to come with a baby, so then for sure she's allowed to come with a pregnant belly, right? Meaning you would think that the baby is heavier than the pregnant belly, and the baby is a second body, it's a second human on the you know, imagine you buy a plane ticket and they say, the woman with the baby, she can get on for one plane ticket, but the pregnant woman, what do you mean? You can't come on the plane, you're bringing an extra weight on the plane. So I'm Rapapa Muberis Vihi Manika Kamar. No, we're talking about Vafila Manika means that she's a Muberis who's also nursing a baby. Meaning, so she has a baby and she's, her family planning was pretty quick. You know, it was a quick turnaround. So she's got a little baby and she's pregnant. So Abaye says from this price that says that even a Muberis is allowed to ride on the donkey. So it sounds like a Muberis is heavier than the average woman. Shemamina Benisa Akarsa Takla. That you see that a fish that's sold in the shuk by weight, based on the size of its belly, is its weight. Because you see that when it comes to the woman, based on the size of her belly, we're assuming much greater weight. So the Mainaf Kamino, okay, well, why is that important to know? Whenever you buy fish, if you see a fish that has a large belly, don't buy it by weight unless he's gonna deduct the price of the belly from the price of the fish. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up the mission on the top of Daf Pei Amud Aleph. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.
Shabbos.